Good morning and welcome to Occupy the Airwaves. Okay, I thought I would finish the article I was reading last week about how the U.S. launders propaganda through Ukraine, kind of the way they launder money through Ukraine. Odd that, right? Where the U.S. feeds Ukrainian groups that they pay propaganda, and then the Ukrainian groups put it out as their own, and then the U.S. Mighty Wurlitzer quotes them as some sort of, oh, look what they're saying. You can get it from the horse's mouth, grassroots kind of groups, that you can listen to what they're saying, and then you'll know it's Ukrainians talking. Get it? Ukrainians are talking, so you have to believe them. Uh-huh. The Ukrainians are being paid to say what the Americans feed them. So anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and finish this article. This is from LeeFang.com, and it is a very good article. It is entitled, U.S. Funds Ukraine Group Censoring Critics Smearing Pro-Peace Voices. American taxpayers are footing the bill for Ukrainian NGOs focused on smearing proponents of a diplomatic solution as Russian disinformation agents. In response to questions about the U.S.-backed anti-disinformation groups in Ukraine targeting Americans, the U.S. State Department provided a statement saying it defines disinformation as, quote, false or misleading information that is deliberately created or spread with the intent to deceive or mislead. We accept there may be other interpretations or definitions and do not censor or coerce independent organizations into adopting our definition, unquote. While noting that the U.S., quote, provides funding to credible and independent media organizations to strengthen democracies in the countries we work in around the world, we do not control the editorial content of these organizations, unquote. Well, there you go. So this is a good way to see not only where your tax money is going and to see how they are literally shaping the narrative, as they like to say, and giving you the propaganda they want you to hear and censoring the propaganda they don't want you to hear, but they're also just lying through their teeth. Apparently there are some people who don't realize that the government lies, which amazes me, because how do you be alive, an adult, and not know that the government lies? Do you live in a bubble or what? I just don't know. But anyhow, some people don't. However, disclosures indicate that the U.S. government and its contractors tasked with reforming Ukraine's institutions have directly set the agenda for Ukrainian outlets. Duh. Immediately after Russia invaded Ukraine 2 years ago, the USAID dispensed emergency grants to its media partners, partly through the Zinc Network, a contractor based in London that has been accused of setting up covert public relations campaigns on behalf of the British government. The grant description notes that the money went to the Zinc Network and Detector Media to assist the Ukrainian government with strategic communications, lies, and to undermine Kremlin information operations. Far from independent reporting, the grant instructions ask the recipients to provide, quote, quick, effective PR and media engagement, unquote. In addition to countering Russian disinformation, the money was intended to maintain public morale and bolster international support for solidarity with Ukraine. And I think we can all remember 2 years ago the hysteria they whipped up. Everyone had a blue and yellow flag, and they were saying Slava Ukraine, not even realizing they were like literally quoting the Nazi slogan of the Ukrainian nationalist banderas in the 40s when they allied themselves with the Hitler, the Nazis, and slaughtered Jews, Russians, Poles, communists. They just slaughtered everybody. And so here's all these people running around yelling, Slava Ukraine! Now you don't see too many people doing that, except for, of course, Congress, who got out their little blue and yellow flags and cheered and waved the other day because they voted themselves, they voted Ukraine $61 billion. Like, how much of that is going to go to Ukraine and how much of it is going to be siphoned off to all those people cheering and waving their little blue and yellow flags? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And where'd they get those little blue and yellow flags anyhow? And why were they chanting Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine in the Capitol building of the U.S. Congress? That seems like an insurrection to me, doesn't it? Yeah, I think so. Anyhow, Last September, journalist Jack Paulson reported on a leaked report from the Zinc Network's Open Information Partnership, which helps coordinate the activities of several anti-Russian disinformation nonprofits around Europe backed by NATO members, including Detector Media. The lengthy report defines disinformation as not only false or misleading content, but also, quote, verifiable information, which is unbalanced or skewed, amplifies or exaggerates certain elements for effect, or uses emotive and inflammatory language to achieve effects which fit within existing Kremlin narratives, aims, or activities, unquotes. You hear what they're saying? Disinformation can also be absolutely true, but we don't like it. And that makes it disinformation. If we don't like what they're saying, well, then it's disinformation. Get it? They've done this before, but they called it malinformation before. Now they've just dumped that little refinement and gone, it's all disinformation. Stuff that isn't true, stuff is true that we don't like, stuff that's true, but maybe it's coming out at an inconvenient time. That's all disinformation. In other words, factual information with emotional language that simply overlaps with anything remotely connected to Russian viewpoints is considered disinformation, according to this U.S.-backed consulting firm helping to guide the efforts of Ukrainian think tanks and media. Many of the broad narratives the report identified as Russian disinformation follow this vague rubric. These included allegations that NATO is using Ukraine as a pawn in a proxy war against Russia and concerns that Ukrainian politicians are corrupt. And again, I did read part of this last week, but my show was cut off, so many people didn't hear this. They're saying that if you say Ukraine is being used as a pawn for NATO, that's disinformation. But that's exactly what Lindsey Graham says. This is the best investment we ever made. We just doing the money and they're doing the fighting. And they're killing Russians and no Americans are dying. So this is great. Yeah, probably 500,000 Ukrainians have been killed or injured, but no Americans, so it's great. Well, then who's the pawn? Who's the pawn there, right? Jen Stoltenberg, the head of NATO, also said that the Ukrainians are proxies. And what's his name? Duda, the head of Poland, also said that. And the guy from England, not Rishi Sunak, although he might have said it also, but Cameron, he came over here and told Congress that they were proxies and pawns and that they were a great bargain because all you have to do is give them money and they go die for America. So how is that not a proxy or a pawn? And we all know that Ukrainian politicians are corrupt. That is not a secret either. Sometimes they complain about it openly. I mean, I'm talking about our ruling overlords. We give them money and then they go buy mansions and Mercedes. They're supposed to be using that money to kill Russians. So we're mad about that. They're our proxies. They're supposed to spend it the way we tell them to. So yeah, if you say that NATO is using Ukraine as a pawn in a proxy war against Russia, they say you're lying. And if you say that Ukrainian politicians are corrupt, they say that's disinformation. It's not. The report goes on to blame many British and American experts who portray the West as being divided, corrupt, or nefarious as part of the Russian disinformation system. The document names liberal journalist Max Blumenthal and Newsweek's Ellie Cook, as well as Republican figures such as former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy and Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs as voices that end up featured in Russian propaganda and disinformation. Get it? If you go up against the ruling class, if you go up against the establishment, if you say anything different from the official narrative, well, then you must be a Russian propagandist. Because there's only, it's, as George Bush said, you're either with us or against us. They made fun of him for saying that, but now they're all like that. The Open Information Partnership report suggests new legislation to counter malign foreign actors and for European intelligence agencies to do more and provide a unified approach against the dangers of disinformation. Zinc Network did not respond to a request for comment. So do more against the dangers of disinformation, like saying that Ukrainians are being wiped out as pawns for NATO or that their politicians are corrupt. In other words, don't tell the truth because we need to have a unified approach. I'm not going to unify myself with those fools. No way. I have nothing in common with the people that are running this country into the ground, that have taken over the government and are using it to loot and strip the United States of every asset it has. Why would I have anything in common with them? Ukraine's government has also worked with U.S. government officials and others to censor its American critics. One prominent example is Aaron Matei, an independent journalist who has criticized U.S. policy regarding Ukraine in other outlets. Following the Russian invasion, Twitter, under its old ownership, flagged Matei to be censored after the Security Service of Ukraine, SBU, the Ukrainian intelligence agency, included him on a list of accounts sent to the FBI that were suspected by the SBU in spreading fear and disinformation, unquote. However, the SBU has their own hit list. Talk about spreading fear. And I'm pretty sure Aaron Matei is on it, as well as Scott Ritter and other Americans are on that list because the Ukrainians want to kill them or have someone else kill them. And then when the people on that list get killed, they put a little X over their face and they say, yeah, that's been done. Like Daria Dugina, when they blew her up right in front of her father, he had to watch her get blown up on car and die. Yeah, that's our allies. They're really good people. They put an X over her face and cheered about it. Just months after the social media request, Ross Burley, a former Zinc Network and Open Information Partnership official, now with the Center for Information Resilience, they got some great names, right? Open Information Partnership. They better start working on the United States because the United States classifies everything. Everything the government does, they classify so you can't see it. So that's not exactly open information, is it? They're supposed to tell you what they do. That's supposed to be what a government official does. You're paying them. They're supposed to be helping the country. They're supposed to tell you how they're helping the country and what they're doing to help the country. They're supposed to give a yearly report and just account for everything they've done and every penny they've spent. And the Center for Information Resilience, what does that mean? Does that mean a big lie repeated over often enough tends to be believed, as Hitler said? Also George W. Bush said the same thing. If you repeat a big lie often enough, people tend to believe it. Well, I've heard that 20 times. It must be true. Why else? I keep hearing that. It must be true. Mm-hmm. That's how humans work. Humans are very, very easy to manipulate, as it turns out. And our overlords have spent billions learning how to do it and then doing it. So anyhow, this Ross Burley guy, this guy that's in these two information, open information groups, spoke openly about his desire to censor critics of the war, including Matei. Burley, who designed, implemented, and led several of the UK government's counter-disinformation programs, according to a now-deleted profile, discussed the rise of independent media, critical of the Ukrainian government, and Western support for a war that is devastating that country. He discussed the conflict at the Opinion Festival in Tallinn, Estonia in August 2022. The Opinion Festival in Estonia. I bet there was a lot of diversity of opinions there. Am I right? Yeah, I'm sure there's a big diversity of opinions because they're all about diversity, aren't they? Yeah, they tell you they are, but not opinions. Burley argued that social media platforms needed more responsibility regarding what types of content to allow. Even I saw Russell Brand, who has a huge following on YouTube, was interviewing a journalist called Aaron Matei on his channel, said Burley, who added that it is incredibly irresponsible for YouTube and other social media companies to continue to host these people. These people. Yeah. What does he mean by these people? Oh, people with a diverse opinion that doesn't go along with the ruling class? And then they went after Russell Brand. They did the favorite thing, the Me Too thing, where they find some woman from 20 years ago that says, well, I didn't, you know, I slept with him, but I didn't like it. So I want everyone to know it was rape. You know, that's the kind of thing they do. So no, I'm sorry, but that is unacceptable. But they took him off YouTube or demonetized him. I think they took him off. They didn't like what he was saying. And then they accused him of all kinds of things and put him in a world of hurt for a while. The organizations supported by the U.S. government have also sought to silence critics inside Ukraine. Before the war, in one of President Zelensky's first controversial acts to stifle political opposition, he moved in February 2021 to close television channels 112, News One, and ZIK, stations owned by Viktor Medvedchuk and his associate Taras Kozov, former lawmakers with the opposition Party of Life, a bloc opposed to Zelensky, over allegations of Kremlin ties. Okay, February 2021. That's a whole year before Russia entered the Civil War. But they're going to blame that on what Russia did a year before Russia did it? I guess they're clairvoyant. The sanctions against TV channels of Mr. Medvedchuk are not about media and freedom of speech at all, said Mykhailo Polodak, an advisor to Zelensky's chief of staff. This is only about effective countermeasures against fakes and foreign propaganda, unquote. See, they picked up the language. It's the favorite language of tyrants to talk about, fakes and foreign propaganda. Mm-hmm. Like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says, has there ever been a government in history that censored and they were the good guys? Was there ever a government in history that stomped out free speech and they were the good guys? No. The answer is no. There was never a government in history. And that includes this government we have right now. And that includes the Kiev regime. Later that year, in December 2021, the United Nations Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights released a statement that criticized the Ukrainian crackdown on journalists and peaceful expression. The report cited the closure of opposition television channels and other media. The USAID-funded Ukrainian media network, however, was quick to defend the Zelensky government. The decision to close the outlets, wrote Detector Media, was not an attack on freedom of speech, because the channels, the group argued, provided informational support of Russian aggression against Ukraine. Oh, I guess that means they talked about the atrocities that the Kiev regime was enacting on the people of Donbass. Because again, this is before Russia entered the Civil War in February 2022. So yeah, they can't say Russian aggression at that time. Who was the only aggressor at that time? The Kiev regime. They were occupying vast swaths of Donbass, which we can see there still are at this point. It's really hard to get them out of there. They've been occupying it for 10 years. And they were killing Ukrainian citizens at the time. These were Ukrainians at the time. They were killing them every day, shelling them, just sending cluster bombs, sending mines. They had these things called petal mines that just looked like flower petals, and it was really hard to tell the difference when you're walking down the street. So they were blowing up people that were just walking down the street of Donetsk, and that includes children, and that includes dogs. They were just walking down the street, and all of a sudden they tripped a mine, and they blew up. But that's Russian aggression? I don't think so. So what they're, this is information support of Russian aggression against Ukraine. In other words, when people reported that these people were getting, and dogs were getting blown up, well, that's informational support for Russian aggression, because Russia's over there going, you shouldn't do that. That's a war crime. You shouldn't be blowing up children or civilians. I would say dogs, but I don't think Russia did that. Anyhow, in May 2022, the Zelensky government widely expanded its efforts to outlaw the political opposition. Zelensky moved to ban 11 political parties over alleged ties to Russia. And this is May 2022. Now remember, as soon as the U.S. backed the coup of 2014, they outlawed a bunch of opposition political parties then too. They started the repression right away. But apparently there was 11 more that either formed or they hadn't gotten to yet. So they banned them 2 years ago. The largest of which was Medvedchuk's Opposition Party of Life, which had previously held 44 seats in the Rada, the Ukrainian parliament. Wow, they actually did. No wonder they had to ban them. And here in America, they don't bother banning, usually, opposition parties. They just ignore them and don't let them get on the ballot. So that's how they do it here. But this time, they're really going all out. They're going after the Republican candidate. They're using lawfare and all kinds of tricks to stop the Republican candidate from running. Now, that's a first, as far as I know. But, you know, if these people get away with totalitarianism, they'll just get worse and worse. And that's what they're doing. Later that summer, other bills to crack down on media rights that had failed to pass in the past over civil liberty concerns were brought back into consideration. Makhaita Potugarev, a Ukrainian legislator and close ally of Zelensky, reintroduced the on-media law. The legislation features provisions to penalize hate speech. Yeah, that's their favorite. What is hate speech? Speech they hate. And disinformation. Again, what is disinformation? Information that's true, but they don't like it. As well as broad powers to limit certain forms of foreign influence, except for not U.S., of course. Among its most contentious provisions is the power granting a council controlled by Zelensky and his allies to ban media outlets without a court order. Well, that sounds like what Congress just did with TikTok. Over 200 million Americans use TikTok, and Congress went, nope, we're banning it because it has ties with China, and China is our enemy. Really? China, our biggest trading partner, is our enemy? Said who? Did Congress declare war on China? No, they did not. They just banned TikTok. Before Zelensky signed, again, if you allow these totalitarians to get away with totalitarian stuff, you're just going to get more. Before Zelensky signed the bill in December 2022, many journalists spoke out against the legislation. The European Federation of Journalists and the Committee to Protect Journalists denounced it as an extreme violation of journalistic freedom. Ukraine's National Union of Journalists described the bill as, quote, the biggest threat to free speech in independent Ukraine's history, unquote. Again, the USAID-funded media groups provided pivotal support amid a tightening on journalistic freedom. The push to support the bill was largely led by U.S. government-backed think tanks and media outlets. You know, because the United States, we're all about the freedom and the free speech and the free press. Yeah, and spreading democracy and openness and transparency. Yeah. Remember? That's got to be true because you've heard it millions of times over your life. As the Ukrainian legislature moved forward, Detector Media reported a new statement from select journalists and nonprofits who supported the controversial legislation. The statement argued that the Zelensky-appointed council overseeing media was an independent regulator and urged the adoption of the law as a tool to counteract foreign aggression. So there they go. It's an independent regulator, just like the NGOs. They're totally independent. I don't know why people say that they're under foreign influence. They're not. They're totally independent just because they get all their money from the U.S. State Department. The statement was organized by Ukraine's Center for Democracy and Rule of Law. In 2022, the group received 76.67% of its budget from USAID, USAID's contractors, and the National Endowment for Democracy, a U.S. government-funded nonprofit that was spun out of the Central Intelligence Agencies in the 1980s. Totally independent. The other signatories of the statement, including the Laboratory of Digital Security and Human Rights Platform, human rights, they're all about the human rights, right? Because they say so. I'm sure you've heard them say that hundreds of times, so it must be true. Both funded by USAID and Internews, a California-based USAID contractor that manages much of the Ukraine's Ukraine media work. Internews Ukraine, the company's in-house Ukraine media outlet, also signed the statement supporting the On Media Law. Internews is a significant pillar of USAID's $35 million Ukraine media program. I wonder if that $35 million could be spent on anything to improve America or life for Americans. You think? No, we need to have it go to the Ukraine media program so that we can get their propaganda laundered back to us. Other European governments and private sector donors, led by billionaires Pierre Amador via the Amador Network and George Soros via the International Renaissance Foundation, have financed the network of media and activists working with the USAID groups. Disclosures suggest other supplemental funding has been rushed to local Ukrainian media. In 2021, before Russia's invasion, Detector Media received 35% of its nearly $1 million budget from Internews. New data released by the federal government shows that USAID provided a $2.5 million direct grant to Detector Media last year. In a report titled Long-Term Investments Pay Dividends in Ukraine, NED noted that U.S.-backed groups have been pivotal in reshaping the country's law. It pointed to a coalition of nonprofits led by the Coalition Re-Emanation Package of Reforms, a U.S. AID-backed group that mobilized civil society to lobby for legal and legislative changes. The group was pivotal in the push for the On Media Law. The group hailed the law's passage, calling it one of the major achievements of reform passed during the war. After the legislation was passed, Detector Media attacked pro-Russian Telegram channels for spreading fakes and manipulations about the law. One fact check published by the group claimed that the law had to be adopted in the context of Ukraine's European integration. We had to put in censorship if we want to be with Europe, because Europe censors like crazy. It's part of that Western values they keep talking about. The Post countered claims that the law introduces authoritarian forms of censorship by pointing to the fact that media professionals and members of the public were involved in its development. NED, the former CIA arm, has publicly touted the effort to pass the On Media Law for its work in reshaping Ukraine's media landscape. In a report written in collaboration with Detector Media, the group discusses the law with respect to bolstering efforts to rid the Ukrainian information space of harmful Russian propaganda, unquote. So in other words, they're stopping Ukrainians from hearing anything about from Russia at all. Even though something, I read that something like when Putin gave his State of the Union, or whatever they call it in Russia, address last December, something like 80% of Ukrainians that had access to the internet used a VPN to bypass the censorship so they could hear what Vladimir Putin had to say. They wanted to hear what he had to say. But their government said, oh, no, 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 you can't hear what Vladimir Putin has to say because you might change your mind or something. Oh, we can't have Russian disinformation having an effect. It's the same thing they do here. We are told that Russia interfered with the 2016 election by giving Americans information about Hillary Clinton that the DNC didn't want Americans to have. I mean, they literally, that was the whole Russiagate thing, that Russia gave Americans true information that our ruling overlords didn't want Americans to have. And then they sit there and tell you, you live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and that, oh, and you have freedom of speech. Right. So this is them stopping Ukrainians also from hearing what Vladimir Putin had to say. But actually, of course, that Russiagate was a big lie. It wasn't, Russia wasn't involved at all. It was an American giving Americans information that our ruling overlords didn't want Americans to have. But he's dead now. Oh, we don't know who killed him. It's only been, what, 8 years? And they're still working on that investigation, but still no leads. Sure. The report noted some journalistic criticism of the proposal, concluded that it was, quote, supported by the majority of media-related civil society organizations and international donors for its expansion of democratic accountability in the information space, unquote. So there you go. All the NGOs and the international donors that pay for the NGOs all agree that censorship is good. There you go. I don't know if you've seen the new head of NPR, who says that the problem that the NPR and other media outlets have is that First Amendment. Americans have the First Amendment, and it's really hard to get around the First Amendment to stop people from talking among themselves and also to make sure that only approved propaganda gets beamed into Americans' phones and cars and houses. How, this, it's just a problem, she said. The First Amendment, they're working on it, though. They're working on ways to get around the First Amendment. You don't worry your pretty little head about it. They'll figure out a way. Well, they already have, right? Patriot Act, and then the Homeland Security, and then since 2017, the whole letting the CIA run the social media companies. Yeah, they figured out a way. All right, again, I have not been able to finish it. I came really close to finishing it this time. I'm not going to read it again next week. But I thought it was very, very interesting. And, you know, it just lays out. I mean, you know they're propagandizing you, or at least you should know. You know that the people in Ukraine that are grassroots speaking out are really just handpicked by the NGOs. But it's nice to see how they do it, what groups are involved, the money involved, where the money comes from, all that stuff. It's just helpful to find out that kind of information. All right, that's the end of Occupy the Airwaves. See you next week.